Today's topic is confidence intervals. And again, our focus is on terminology. We're still treating the population mean as unknown, but the population standard deviation is known. And that's unrealistic in most contexts. And the basic calculation of a confidence interval goes from a percentile to natural units. So we just go back to the idea of going from norm to z to natural units. So for example, and I'll explain why we're doing this later. For example, suppose we take a sample of 25 students and ask how long it takes them to write an essay for the SATs. We want to say something about the population mean. That is, we're going to give a confidence interval for the population mean. That's the true parameter based on the sample mean, which is a sample statistic. So let's pretend that we know that the population standard deviation is 1.5 minutes, and our sample mean that we find when we ask these 25 students is 20 minutes. That is, on average, for our 25 students, it takes them 20 minutes to write the essay. And we believe the population standard deviation, which is ordinarily an unknown parameter, is known to be 1.5 minutes. Okay, now the way we calculate the 90% confidence interval from the population mean is as follows. We want to find the natural units, that is, in this case, minutes, how many minutes that fall within the middle of 90 percentiles. That is, we want to find within the middle 90 percentiles. So first we need to go from percentiles to natural units. And we start by using inf norm to get a value for z. However, we did not take the inf norm of 0.9, even though it's a 90% confidence interval. The reason is that 0.9 would give us the 90th percentile, and we're not really interested in the 90th percentile. What we're interested in is the middle percentiles, the middle 90 percentiles, which means that there's going to be 5% on either side, and so what we need is between 0.05 and 0.95. So to find one of those boundaries, and the boundaries are symmetric, we would take, let's say, the inf norm of 0.05, and that would give us negative 1.64, and that's our z value. So to go from inf norm to z, we take the 0.05, inf norm of 0.05, we get negative 1.64, and that's our z. Now we're on to step two. We use z is equal to x minus x bar over sigma over square root of n. And what we're solving for is x. We know x bar, we know sigma, we know n, and we know z. So we're solving for x. Z is negative 1.64. X bar is our sample mean of 20 minutes. Sigma is our given population standard deviation of 1.5. And n is 25, so 25 students, so the square root of n is 5. So we have negative 1.64 is equal to x minus 20 over 1.5 over 5. and if we solve that for x, we said we will find that x is equal to 20 minus 0.492 equals 19.508. And the confidence interval is symmetric around the mean, so we go 0.492 in the other direction also. So the confidence interval is written as 19.508 to 20.492. So what we say is that a 90% confidence interval for the population mean is that it lies between 19.508 and 20.492. So that's our statement four of the confidence interval. So let's go over some of the terminology we've talked about. There's something called a confidence level, which we'll refer to as capital C, and in this case it's 90%. That is, when we talk about a 90% confidence interval, our confidence level is at 90%. The confidence level is something that's arbitrary. It's chosen by the investigator. You could pick something like 90%, 95%, 99%, something like that. The confidence interval in this example is 19.508 to 20.492, and that's something that's in natural units and that are calculated to fall within the percentiles given by the confidence level, so that the 19.508 represents the 5% lower bound, 20.492 represents the 95% upper bound, so that in between there's 90%, between 5 and 95%, 90%, but the confidence interval is measured in natural units. The next term I want to talk about is margin of error, which means the distance between the sample mean and one of the boundaries of the confidence interval. So in our example, 0.492 is the margin of error. So people talk about margin of error plus or minus, that's what we're talking about. The formula for the margin of error is z star times sigma over the square root of n, where z star is the distance measured in standard deviations that corresponds to the confidence interval percentile boundary. So z star is what you get when you do the inv norm of the boundary of the confidence interval. So in our case, with a 90% confidence interval, there was 90% in the middle, which meant there was 5% on each side, which meant the boundary would be at either 0.05 or 0.95. And if you did inv norm of 0.05, you'd get -1.64. If you did inv norm of 0.95, you'd get 1.64. And that's the amount of standard deviations between the mean and the boundary of the confidence interval. So just to make sure we understand, let's recalculate a 95% confidence interval with the same data. So for 95% confidence interval, we calculate a new z star. Now that we have 95% in the middle, there's going to be 2.5% on each side. So the z star comes from an inv norm of 0.975 to get 2.5% on each side. And that z star turns out to be 1.96. Now we use the formula for the margin of error, z star times sigma over the square root of n. It's 1.96. Our sigma was 1.5 minutes. Our sample size was 25, so we divide by the square root of 25. To put that all together, and you get 0.588 for the margin of error. So the confidence interval is equal to the sample mean, or x bar, plus or minus the margin of error. So it's 20 plus or minus 0.588, and then we can write that as 19.412, 20.588. That's the way we typically write is confidence interval is equal to, and then we put the lower and the upper bounds. Note that the confidence interval is wider for 95% than 90%. That makes sense because if you're going to have more area in the middle, that is 95% rather than 90%, you naturally need something that's wider. So what does a confidence interval mean exactly? What you're going to want to say is that there is a 90% chance that the true population mean is between 19.508 minutes and 20.492 minutes, but you cannot say that. The problem is, in classical statistics, the true mean is a population parameter, and it is what it is. You cannot change the probability distribution for it based on what the investigator does. In fact, there is no probability distribution for it. The population parameter is a fixed number. What changes depending on how large a sample you pick and what your standard error turns out to be is the probability that your statistic is a true reflection of the population parameter, or the probability that your statistic will be arbitrarily close to the population parameter. So you can only make probability statements about your statistical methods, not about the true parameter, at least in classical statistics. So you can say, what you can say is that a 90% confidence interval is an interval that is calculated by a method that would produce an interval containing the true parameter 90% of the time. That's a horribly awkward sentence. Okay, so I've used the word interval three times there. But what it means is that your methods, particularly your sample size, will produce an interval containing the true parameter 90% of the time. That's the only real probability statement you could make about your confidence interval. That is the probability that your that your method produces an interval containing the true parameter is equal to your confidence level. That's the only kind of probability statement you can make. It's very frustrating. I've had at least one student say, so a confidence interval basically means nothing. And that's it's almost a valid statement because in terms of, because you can't make a confident statement about the true parameter, which is the thing that you really want to make a confident statement about. You can only make a confident statement about your methods. So another way of putting this is that 90% of the time when we take a sample of size 25 and calculate a confidence interval based on the sample mean, and in this case the known population standard deviation, our interval will contain the true population parameter. Now the reason you have to do that, make those kinds of convoluted statements, is that you could easily get two people get different sample means and therefore get two completely different confidence intervals. And you don't, they can't both be correct. They each is correct for their own method, but you can't say, so in terms of the population parameter, that they're both correct because they might not even overlap. Okay, so there's, so we'll have to keep reinforcing this sort of funny definition of what the confidence interval truly means. Finally, it'll be important going forward to have a good feel for how confidence intervals vary depending on the situation. First of all, a narrower confidence interval is better. If that is, other things equal, you would like to have a narrower confidence interval because that means that you have a narrower band. A narrower margin of error. That's another way of putting it, is you have a smaller margin of error when you have a narrower confidence interval. Now, if you, so what is the effect on the width of the confidence interval, i.e., the margin of error, of raising the confidence level? Think about what happens when you do that. When you raise it from 90 to 95%, does the margin of error get larger or smaller? Does the interval get wider or narrower? What happens if the population standard deviation goes up? Look at the formula for the margin of error. The margin of error going to go up or down? What happens if you change the sample mean? If you have a higher sample mean, does the margin of error go up, down? What happens to it? Larger sample size, what happens to the margin of error? Remember, the formula for the margin of error is z star sigma over the square root of n. So the things that ought to affect it are the things that affect z star, sigma, and n. Okay, that's it.